Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Lumber Liquidators,
supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR.
Information at LumberLiquidators.com.
And Valvoline, maker of MaxLife, a specially formulated motor oil for fighting engine breakdown in higher mileage cars. More at Valvoline.com. And
WeatherTech,
maker of laser-measured all-weather floor liners to help protect the vehicle's floor.
Learn more at WeatherTech.com or 1-800-CAR-MATS. And
Angie's List, providing reviews of local contractors, dentists, electricians, and mechanics to keep the consumer informed. More at AngiesList.com. Welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the classified section here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, indeed. You're familiar with the website Craigslist, right?
Oh, sure. In fact, I put up a listing there a few weeks ago for a new co-host.
So did I. What are the chances of that?
Pretty good, I guess.
Anyway, people post all kinds of ads for stuff that you won't find anyplace else.
That's for sure.
For example, here's one. Wanted. Heart surgeon for half-day gig, no pay, and the listing reads like this. I need a triple bypass surgery, and I want to have it done as soon as possible. I don't have any funds at the moment, but I'll have a friend videotape the whole procedure, and you can have a copy of the tape. We're also planning to pitch the idea to some honchos at HBO, so you'll be in on the ground floor. No amateurs, experienced heart surgeons only.
Okay.
Here's another one. Boyfriend with AC needed. I am looking for a moderately attractive man between the ages of 18 and 40 who has air conditioning in his bedroom. This would be for July and August only. However, an Indian summer could extend our relationship. Here's another great one. Lack of funds have come up and put the skids on finishing my dreams of building my time machine. I think I have it almost totally completed. I've run into one hill I can't overcome with my small income. The time machine powers up and runs fine. However, the cryostasis system won't kick in.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, that happens. If anyone out there wants to take over my dreams of time travel, I will be willing to give this up for free. I will be screening applicants.
Well, of course. I mean, you wouldn't want your time machine, say, falling into the hands of some nut job, would you?
Certainly not. All right, here's one more. This is my last one. Subject, looking to trade my soul for a Wii. Wii, you got that?
Yeah, I know what a Wii
my
is.
My soul is in good shape and has served me well for 28 years. The reason I'm getting rid of it is I'm considering a career in politics. And a good soul would only be a hindrance from this point on.
Well, look, if you have a question about your car, your soul, or your time machine, or maybe soon to be my time machine for that matter, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Erin. I'm calling you from Southie.
Erin?
Yep.
Erin, Southie what? Southie Boston?
Southie Boston, yeah.
Southie is certainly, among all the places in the world, a unique place.
It is. And for those that don't know, it's South Boston.
Right. Right.
So what's up?
Well, I drive a 1980 Chevy Impala.
Yeah. That's unique right there. See?
That is a Southie car.
Find 10 of those in the entire state, and 8 of them are in Southie.
Yeah, you know, it's true. The car used to be my grandfather's, and so I hang on to it out of sentimental value.
Mm-hmm. Great.
But it's 3 different colors now, and, you know, there's all sorts of things wrong with the car. As I'm
now
sure
we're down to 5 or 6 questions.
Yeah, it's only a 1-hour show. I mean, give us a break.
I noticed in town, you know, most of my driving in town, I don't, you know, turn on my high beams at all. But when I went out to visit my parents in the country, I noticed that when I turn on my high beams, my directionals don't work.
Jeez. That's good.
When you turn the directional on, does it come on but not flash?
Yeah, it comes on, but it doesn't flash.
Jeez, pretty good. And as soon as you go back to low beam...
Mm-hmm. It works.
Well, I have a lot of theories.
I do, too. I have two.
None of them have anything to do with electricity.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Gas?
Metaphysics. No, actually,
cold fusion?
I think I know the answer.
Okay.
Do you? Don't worry, Aaron. I'm going to listen to him very carefully, and if he starts giving you a bunch of BS, I will let you know.
Okay.
Okay, I can ask you to do a little test, which would require that other devices on your car were in working order. And there may not be enough of them to do this test. I believe that the voltage output from your alternator is insufficient. Okay. That little device that goes clunk, 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 the little flasher, uh-huh. is very voltage sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And if the voltage should drop mm-hmm. too low,
ooh.
The thing won't go clunk, 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 clunk. It'll go clunk, and it won't flash.
So the high beams are using up just
the
enough more
energy. The
high beams
using up just enough more electricity.
Mm.
So that the alternator, which has probably got burned out diodes and has had for the last 10 or 15 years, is producing just enough. And then when you turn on the high beams, they're dropping the voltage down below the threshold level, rendering the flasher inoperative.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So what are the tests you wanted to do?
Well, I wanted her, instead of turning on the high beams, to turn on
everything
else in the car.
Now, do you have a rear window defogger?
It doesn't work.
Doesn't work. See, I know that. Air conditioner?
No air conditioner.
No, if it did, it probably wouldn't work.
It probably wouldn't work.
Yeah. See, we're going to run into trouble because there aren't enough things.
Yeah.
Brake lights?
Yeah.
All right.
The other thing you could do is you could actually have someone test the output of the alternator.
No. Here's what you do better than that. You go to the auto parts store, and you buy yourself a new flasher, which costs a couple of bucks. It may be that the one you have in there is just so old that it's become even more sensitive to a drop in voltage.
Oh, now you're going too far. Now you're going too far.
It's only going to cost her $2. So go to the parts store, buy one, and the way you'll find the other one is you sit there with the key on, engine off, and you turn the directional on, you'll hear the thing going clunk, 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 clunk. It's under the dashboard. You crawl into the dash, and you feel around for the thing. It's a little cylindrical thing, about an inch in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel it going clunk, clunk, you unplug it. And as soon as you do that, the clunk, 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 clunk will stop.
Right.
And you plug the new one in, and of course the flashing will begin. And then...
You put on your high beams.
You turn on your high beams.
And then if it still doesn't work, then it's the alternator.
Well, no, not really. It could be.
Now, if it does turn out, like you say, if it's the alternator, does that mean the alternator's on its way out?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Or you could need a voltage regulator.
Yeah. I mean, the most important thing is, you know, is it a sign, could it be a sign that the whole electrical system's going to go?
No.
Don't worry about it.
No. Okay. Start by buying an inexpensive flasher at the auto parts store.
Yeah.
Plug it in. And if that doesn't solve the problem, then take it into somebody. But I, if it isn't the alternator, then it's a bad ground.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Maybe. It could be,
okay.
If you're lucky. See you, Aaron.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yes, this is Tony from College Park, Maryland.
Tony!
Yeah, I got a 94 Subaru.
Uh-huh. Wait a minute. I'm still writing down College Park. Maryland. Okay, you got what?
94 Subaru.
Okay.
Subaru what?
Impreza, the 2.2 liter engine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I pumped $230 into it, and now I'm sleeping in the sofa. Here's what's going on with it.
Yeah.
My wife drives it from College Park down to D.C. to work, and when she gets there, if she, let's say, spend 10 minutes in the hospital and come back out, it won't start. And if you wait, like, maybe 10, 15 minutes, it'll start right up. And it's progressively getting worse. She said sometime on the way down there, if when she stopped at a stop sign, it would just cut off.
Aha.
And it won't start for maybe 10 minutes when the engine cooled down.
Uh-huh. Got it.
And when it doesn't start,
mm-hmm.
it cranks. In other words, she turns the key and it goes, ah, ah, ah.
Yeah, it cranks.
It cranks. So the battery and the starter motor are okay.
Are okay, yeah.
What it doesn't do is fire up. The engine doesn't run.
It doesn't run, yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, at least it cranks. That's not, so it's nothing.
So it's somewhat predictable.
Yeah. I can tell you what I put in it.
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah. I put a what they call a the igniter.
Oh.
And the coil.
Oh.
Oh, two very good. Two very good choices.
Unfortunately, pretty expensive.
No, no, but they were. What? How did you arrive at these two things?
Well, I figure in the way the ignition work, I figure those are the things that might cost it.
You're way ahead of us, Tony. Hey, Tony, want to do a radio show?
I don't know.
What are you doing next weekend? Can you fly to Boston?
There's a little boat in the driveway right now.
Oh, so is this what you spent the $230 on?
Yeah.
So you must have determined that it wasn't getting spark. Is that true?
Yeah. I replaced the coil first.
So you actually witnessed this whole thing happening?
Yeah.
What more could we ask? What more? A guy who's right on the scene knows enough to take the most important pieces of information available to him. So we would have said if this was a neophyte, well, you got to wait. And we would have been out of it, by the way. Mm-hmm. We would say, you have to wait until it happens again. And here's how you check for spark. Call us back, which they would never do.
So Tony has jumped a whole bunch of steps and put us in hot water because...
What the hell do we do now?
Oh, no.
Can we hang up?
This is like the person who actually calls back.
Well, I did that, and I have no spark. And I replaced the igniter and the coil.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, do you have spark now?
No.
Wait a minute, how do you know that? Have you witnessed the same symptom since you put these things in?
No, my wife won't let me touch it again.
but she has experienced the same symptoms.
Yeah.
Well, here's what you do, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Next time it happens,
mm-hmm.
check to see if you have spark. How are we doing?
this thing has this has no distributor. Am I correct?
No, it doesn't have a distributor.
This has a coil that has four connectors on it that sits on top of the engine.
Yeah.
So there's no distributor, but it does have a crank angle sensor.
A crank angle sensor.
Yeah. Well, that's how it determines when the spark should fire off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be willing to bet that the crank angle sensor is bad.
Oh, man, that's great.
Well, that's great. It's about $239. I don't know how much it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly something that could fail when it heats up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if the crank angle sensor, and if you can sneak out to the Subaru dealership and pay cash for the thing so your wife doesn't know.
Yeah. Start saving up your money.
And then you install the thing when she's away.
Mm-hmm.
Tell her nothing. And when the car is suddenly fixed, you will tell her that it took a while for the car to get acclimated
to the new coil
and the igniter.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Coils don't work all the time. They have to sort of learn about the car.
Exactly right. And there was a rejection period there. And when the new pieces didn't get rejected, they got assimilated, and now they're working correctly.
Now they're working great.
That's your only hope, Tony.
No, I'm going to try to remember all that.
Crank angle sensor.
I appreciate it, guys.
See you later.
I love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
He's in deep trouble. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Steve from East Glacier Park, Montana.
Hey, Steve.
I have a philosophical question.
Good.
Why is it that a vehicle that has run perfectly for 10 years has three different things break down all on the same day when there's 5 feet of snow on the ground?
For the same reason that a person who has worked perfectly for 65 years suddenly falls down when there's snow on the ground and breaks three different bones.
I haven't done that yet.
Well, what broke, Steve?
Well, actually, it wasn't exactly all at the same time. I was driving back from the grocery store a week ago Sunday, and I felt the alternator go out. And I was about halfway home, and of course, the parts stores and everything and in this town 50 miles from home were already closed.
Sure.
So I made it home, and the next day I sent this nun that I know
to buy you an alternator.
Buy me an alternator. And she brought it in, and I installed it, and still things were wrong, and I knew they were wrong. And on the way back to work the next day, the clutch went out, and I made it to the shop just as the battery went dead.
Oh, and what kind of car is this?
It's a Ford Ranger.
So do you think that there's some connection, or you're trying to find out if there's...
I'm just wondering, you know, why it is, you know, the only thing I have ever had to do with this car is replace windshields, of course. I live in Montana, so rocks and birds and things break the window. But three big things all happen when it's, I mean, the average high temperature these days was like 4 below, and there literally are 5 feet of snow in my front yard.
What are you doing there, Steve?
I teach music in a middle school.
Well, I mean, it's possible that the alternator and the battery thing were related, but the clutch was unrelated.
Right.
No, this is the law of averages catching up to you.
Yeah.
I mean, you should average...
Regression to the mean.
Exactly. You should be averaging about 2 major repairs a year with this thing.
Really?
Yeah. So this year you had 3.
I've been really lucky.
You've been very lucky.
You've been very lucky.
But it's 10 years old, so this year 3. Next year you'll have 1.
Okay.
It'll be the engine, but it'll be only 1.
But don't forget, I mean, part of the reason that everything went is because you probably haven't been maintaining the car.
I've done better with this car than any car I've ever had in my
life. Well, I mean, I would be willing to bet $100 that you need ball joints and tie rods.
You think?
Yeah.
Bet him, Steve.
And if you...
You could probably use an extra $100.
I could really use $100. As I said, I'm a teacher.
Yeah, well, you could use it, and I would pay
it. I'll back you, Steve.
I would pay it. I'll bet you if someone looked at them, and you probably should have them looked at, because if this thing is 10 years old, and you've never done it...
No, I've never done it.
Then I would bet you that you need it, and
all
it's
right.
dangerous.
All right, look at Steve.
Here's and that's going to cost you $1,000.
Steve,
that'll make up for a few of the years that you paid nothing.
Oh, well, I won't have it checked if it's going to cost me $1,000.
Yeah, go get him checked.
No, you should check it because it's dangerous. Wheels fall off.
Yeah, you may wind up in the lake someday.
Lake?
They have no lakes.
No,
river. You may end up in the glacier.
Yeah, they'll find you 50,000 years from now, frozen behind the wheel. But go get the thing checked because you never know what's out there.
Oh, okay.
And we'll be in touch.
I trust you guys.
See you, Steve.
Good
Take
luck,
care.
Steve.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Of course I remember last week's puzzler. I always remember the puzzler.
Passed another brainstone, huh?
I don't remember the squat.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. Bought it just a year ago, going for a song. 190,000 miles, still going strong. Pulling out of a parking lot, a man did say, hey man, that car's gonna save your life one day. Come on, let's go. Take me home. Big black 740 Volvo. Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our new mechanics social networking site. Took us book from NPR, NPR member stations, and...
Esurance.
Insurance for the modern world. You think their smartphone app can fix a transmission?
No, but neither can we.
Well, that's true. And their app can find a repair shop that can.
Esurance, an Allstate company. And...
Valvoline, maker of MaxLife, a specially formulated motor oil for fighting engine breakdown in higher mileage cars. More at Valvoline.com. And
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at TRowePrice.com.
And even though the NPR Fire Brigade runs a drill and chops down the studio door whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members. From the Bridgestone America's Trust Fund, working to improve the quality of life in Middle Tennessee by supporting groups dedicated to the environment by protecting wildlife, woods, and waterways. And support comes from NS2, presenting guitarist Tommy Emmanuel at the Belcourt Theater on Wednesday, February 27th at 8 p.m. Tickets and information are at belcourt.org.
Grammy season has come and gone, and year after year it seems like the same handful of artists get all the awards, all the radio play, and all the attention. So that's where we come in. I'm Greg Kot.
And I'm Jim DeRogatis. This week on Sound Opinions, it's Buried Treasures. We dig deep to highlight some great albums that have slipped through the mainstream cracks.
Sunday evenings at 7.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler, and here
which
it is.
I remember. I mean, I remember every word of it.
You do?
I could.
Well,
I could
only a paragraph.
Yeah.
This came in via email, and unfortunately, I lost the letter, so I don't really know who sent it. But
but you remember the puzzler.
Well, I do remember, because I thought it was cute. And the woman that sent it in wrote, when I was in school, one of my teachers had the annoying habit of putting little cryptic messages on the blackboard. And one day she wrote the following. The letters. E-I-L-N-P-U.
Yeah.
You got it? E-I-L-N-P-U. What was she trying to tell us? And the hint I gave is that this happened near the end of the school year. E-I-L-N-P-U. And I guess you didn't like the hint, I don't think. And at the end of the school year, what's often done is some kind of graduation photographs are taken.
Huh.
And in order that they can figure out whose picture goes with what name, they ask the kids to line up in
alphabetical order.
And that's what E-I-L-N-P. Well, it was the only hint I could give that wouldn't have given it away.
Well, no, if you had said they were going to take a picture, that would have been a real hint.
That would have been too easy.
Ah, the idea.
In my never-ending quest to complicate and obfuscate, I felt that that was good enough.
Well, we got a winner. The winner this week is Linda Soyars from Aiken, South Carolina, and for having her answer selected at random from among both of the correct answers that we got. I mean, the hundreds of correct answers that we got. Linda is going to get from us a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com. where she can get a copy of our CD of great stories that we have told on the air called Once Upon a Car Fire. Congratulations, Linda.
Yippee! Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so don't touch that dial. In the meantime, if you have questions about your car, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Miriam from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hi, Miriam.
Hi.
St. Paul.
Yes.
Got it. We know what that is even.
So what's up, Miriam?
Well, I have a Nissan Maxima.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a dent in it. It's right above the wheel well on the passenger front? Side in the front.
Front.
Yep.
Yeah.
And basically, I want to try to fix it myself.
Do you?
But yes, I do.
How deep is this dent?
Not that deep. Like, it doesn't affect my driving. The wheel, I can turn the wheel freely and everything.
And how did this dent occur?
I hit something.
Animal, vegetable, or mineral?
Mineral, I guess. Is another car a mineral?
Oh, a tree.
Another car would be mineral, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Mineral.
Oh, so this is more than just a little teeny dent. I mean, this is a good-sized dent.
It's a pretty good-sized dent.
Yeah, it's like a foot long.
And why does it bother you?
Why does it bother me?
Yeah, why do you want to fix it?
I love my cute little car all nice and pretty.
Why?
I just want to fix it.
My brother and I were discussing this just the other day.
Yes.
We were sitting around at my kitchen table drinking coffee, and we were discussing the fact that everything is too darn pretty. And there's nothing more liberating than a big dent in your right front fender.
But the other thing is I get a real rush from trying to fix things.
All right. Well,
well, you can fix it if you want, but
okay.
But ponder the idea of leaving it alone.
Okay.
I happen to be reading a book right now called Doubt and Certainty.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the issues is there symmetry in nature?
Well, there is, but
there
is
symmetry in science. And there,
so you're reading about pine cones and pineapples?
Well, the truth is there is not symmetry. There is not symmetry.
Right.
We think there's symmetry.
We think of things as being symmetrical and mostly, but mostly they're not. And so the fact that your car started out being pretty symmetrical, except the steering wheel was on one side. Other than that, it was almost perfectly symmetrical about several axes. And I think you've done something natural. You've made it asymmetric.
Yes, so you brought it closer to nature.
Consider leaving it alone, Miriam. But if you want to fix it, if you really want to fix it,
okay.
If you want to do it yourself, you need to start with a plumber's plunger.
Yeah. I tried that.
All right, well,
okay,
that's...
then you got to go to the store.
Yes.
Well, you got to buy a dent puller.
Well, maybe better than that. You can access this dent from the inside because you can remove what's called the inner fender liner. There's a piece of plastic that's above the wheel.
Okay.
And it's held on either by clips or screws.
Okay.
And a lot of them.
A whole bunch of them, all around the edge of that little thing.
And you will take this piece off, and you will then gain access to the bulge on the inside of the fender.
Well, here's the thing. I gained access to it.
You did.
But through the hood. Like, I opened up the hood.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, and you could actually see?
I could see it, and I could kind of feel it. It felt like if I just gave it a good whack, it would pop out.
Yeah. Tap on it a few times. You'll get it to pop out a little bit. It'll be sort of rippled.
Uh-huh.
And then you may have to take some Bondo to it, this plastic filler
stuff.
Oh,
no, you're not going to do that.
And then you'll sand it down, and then you'll paint it. I mean, she wants to do it. She wants a project.
Believe me, the woman wants a project. It will look so hideous when you're done. This will be better. What would you have now, believe me,
okay,
is better than anything you could do yourself.
No,
okay,
but this is not the sort of thing you can explain to someone.
Body work is very difficult, and it's very hard to make it look good.
Right.
But if you want to try it, by all means, like
try.
My brother says, buy a big thing of Bondo, maybe a 5-gallon pail.
Okay.
Good luck,
I'm
Miriam.
I'm on the way. Thank you.
See ya.
We
Bye.
All need projects.
Yes.
We do. We need otherwise, we get into trouble.
Yes, we do.
We get our wives angry at us. Hey, you know what time it is?
Time to start working on the snow-powered car?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if our advice was any good. And why wasn't it?
So who's our contestant this week?
It's Sam from Washington, D.C. Remember him?
No, not unless his first name is Uncle.
No. All right. Sam called us about a year ago. That's why you don't remember him. He was trying to unload his wife's 95 Honda Accord, but he was having a little problem.
It makes a horrible sound when you're coasting, and it goes, and it gets progressively worse. But if you step on the clutch or you accelerate, it goes away. And so it's not a great selling point, you know, when people show up for a test drive.
Unless the radio's on real loud.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And it doesn't happen all the time. And,
sure.
It, you know, it usually happens about 10 minutes into the drive.
Oh, man.
And so actually a guy... I advertised online, and a guy drove all the way from Georgia to Washington, D.C. to buy the car.
Oh, did he lay a beating on you?
Jeez, I would have.
I told him about the sound, and he said, no problem. And we went for a test drive, and his face progressively
What the hell
sang.
Is that sound?
Yeah. He got in his car, and he went back to Georgia.
Well, what did we tell Sam was wrong, anyway?
Well, we told him, first of all, try advertising more locally. But we said it was either the clutch or the transmission, and I ended up leaning toward the clutch, and you were leaning toward the transmission.
Yeah, it's probably
That's
neither.
Good. Well, that's how we cover ourselves. We're always going to win.
Yeah.
It's either this or that. You take one side, I'll always take the
other.
Well,
let's see how we did. Sam, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Look, before we find out what happened, we need you to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That is true.
And the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the plaid pants and white shoes we sent you?
That's right.
All right, so was it the transmission or the clutch or which?
No, you were both wrong.
Yeah.
Oh!
And I was very happy because your fixes...
were expensive.
Yeah. You said $800 or, you know, $2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, it cost you $20, right?
It cost me $150.
Yeah, $150. Well, it couldn't be a heat shield, although it's one of the possibilities, but it shouldn't have cost you that much if it was a heat shield.
No.
Maybe a loose baffle in the muffler.
No, they didn't use the word baffle, but maybe it's similar.
Well, we're baffled.
Okay. It was two exhaust gaskets.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
One right behind the catalytic converter, is that right?
Yeah.
And the other in front of the exhaust pipe.
Really?
Well, I know why we didn't get it right.
Why?
because you didn't make the sound correctly.
No, I was very accurate about the sound.
No,
Let me tell you what happened. I took it to you actually gave me good advice, which was go see another mechanic.
Yeah.
And he had an old Honda Accord. And he said, he took it for a drive, and he said, oh, yeah, that's the exhaust gaskets.
Cool.
This always happens on old Hondas.
Jeez.
There you go.
Oh, I must have, we work almost exclusively on old Hondas.
And really? Never saw this.
Really?
Well, we benefited from this, too. I mean, you benefited because you didn't take our advice, and that was smart.
Yeah.
More people should do that.
And the story actually had a great ending, because I had an ad in the paper that was going to run the next day.
Uh-huh.
So I got the car fixed on a Friday afternoon, and I sold it to the first guy who came on Saturday morning.
Wow.
Jeez.
And in retrospect, the guy from Georgia would have gotten a really good deal because I was going to sell it to him for $2,500, and I ended up selling it for $3,250.
Boy, if he's listening now, he must be really ticked.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know either. But you know what? We got another answer, too. Because now we have, we usually, when people have these noises they describe to us, we come up with a bogus answer, like it's your transmission or your clutch. But now we have bad exhaust gaskets.
Yeah.
We're going to file that one away. Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or call right now and stump us. It's easy, as you know. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Andrea from Durham, North Carolina.
Andrea, not Andrea.
No, it's Andrea.
That's the Italian pronunciation.
Well, that's very good. You're right.
Yeah.
And where are you from?
I'm not Italian. I'm from Durham, North Carolina.
Durham.
Yep.
So how did you adopt this European pronunciation for your name?
It was my mother's idea, who's actually from Queens, and she named me after a childhood friend who is Italian.
Oh. Uh-huh. There we go.
Yeah, the Andrea Adoria.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, my husband and I have just had a little baby.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Boy or girl?
A little boy.
What'd you name him?
Alex.
Alex.
That's a great name.
Well, thank you. Well, anyway, we're buying this minivan, we've decided.
Yeah.
And we want to buy a Toyota Sienna. But we're kind of having this argument about whether to buy it now or buy it in a few months, because we're actually moving about 2,000 miles away in Texas in a few months. And so the question is, I have always heard that you never want to drive a new car over 55 miles an hour in the first 1,000 miles. And my husband thinks that this is just an old wives' tale, and that we should just go ahead and get the car, and it won't do anything to it.
Well, your husband's wrong.
Uh-huh.
Well, yes and no.
Yeah, well, he's wrong. If you believe all the owner's manuals printed anywhere in the world, your husband's wrong.
Really?
Yeah, because when you go buy this thing, you'll look in the owner's manual, and you'll see it will tell you, for the first 1,000 or whatever number of miles, it's something between 500 and 1,500 usually.
Uh-huh.
It'll tell you, don't drive over 55 miles an hour, and don't drive at a sustained any speed, but vary it up and down.
Vary it up and down?
Yeah.
Hmm, how's that possible, I wonder?
Well, you can't go on the highway, obviously.
Well, you can. You can bring it up to 55 and then stay in the right lane and coast back down to 40.
Put on your hat and put it in the left lane and go and bring it down to 40. And put on your left blinker.
And leave the seatbelt buckle hanging outside and drag on the pavement. And wear a hat.
Yeah, how long do we have to do this?
1,000 miles.
1,000 miles.
Well, see, there are lots of issues involved here. One is the one you bring up, the technical issue. And let's assume that you don't want to get it and get right on the highway and drive 2,000 miles as soon as you buy the thing. Let's assume that the book is right, because even if the book is wrong,
it can hurt.
If something goes wrong with the engine,
mm-hmm.
and you go back to the dealer, you will not be able in good conscience to say to them, I did everything the book says, therefore you owe me a new engine.
Mm-hmm. No, you'll have to lie.
You'll have to lie. That will change everything if you start to lie. So it's better to not have to lie. So let's assume that you will not do that.
Uh-huh.
Then the issue becomes, would you rather buy the vehicle in Durham, North Carolina, or in Texas?
Right.
And how are you going to get to Texas?
Well, we have our old cars, I guess. We can do that. We were thinking we'd love to have the minivan, though, if it didn't make any difference. But...
Well, it does make a difference. Plus, when you move to Texas, you'll have to find yourself a dealer to bring the car to, whereas if you buy it there, they'll be much nicer to you because you will have bought it there.
Whereabouts in Texas are you moving to?
El Paso.
What are you going to be doing in El Paso?
Well, we're moving there for my husband's job.
Is he in the smuggling business? Just asking.
Well, he's something to do with the government, isn't it?
No, he's a physician.
A physician?
Uh-huh.
That's what he tells you.
That's what he tells me. I think he's a drug runner, though. Well, can I ask one more argument between us, whether it's an old wives' tale or not?
Of course.
Yeah, sure.
What do you guys think about driving a car, you know, accelerating real fast and braking real fast and taking the turns hard and all that? Does that shorten the life of a car?
Nothing wrecks a car faster than the four things you just described.
You're joking.
No.
No, absolutely right.
Hmm.
Wait, is that how he drives or is that how you drive?
That's how he drives, in my opinion.
Yeah. No,
rapid acceleration, rapid deceleration, hard cornering, and what else? I forgot. Those three things.
No, that's the truth. I mean, that's what wrecks a car.
Okay. And
it wrecks not only the engine, but the transmission. It wrecks the...
The suspension, everything gets worn out when you drive that way.
All right.
You're absolutely right on both counts. But, Aunt Andrea, don't spring both of these on him at once.
No, okay. Space them a little
bit. This man is a doctor. He needs to have some self-respect left. He's got to treat patients who are ill. And if you destroy his
self-esteem
by pouncing on him with both of these at one time, the man will become a vegetable.
Okay.
So let's cool it.
Be gentle.
I'll be gentle.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
See you, Andrea.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Look, it's time to take another short break.
Huh? Time to prepare the new puzzle, you mean? To do a little fine-tuning on it? To do a little verbal polishing, perhaps?
You're just raising expectations, so I look even dumber than usual, aren't you?
Yes, and not an easy task, I might add. The new puzzler is coming up, so please stay tuned.
Well, I used to be such a gentle child. Lately, I've been turning hard. And I like the way you live your life with callous disregard. So put on your dark sunglasses and those high-top tennis shoes. And take me someplace dangerous where we can break some rules. Let's go jaywalking. Heavy traffic. Jaywalking. Downtown late at night. Let's go jaywalking. And see how we like it. Come on, let's go jaywalking. Come on along with me. Now some people say it's stupid. Maybe that's why I do it. Let's go jaywalking.
Support for Car Talk at NPR comes from our new demotivational seminars coming to a city near you whenever we get around to it. From NPR, NPR member stations, and
Valvoline,
maker of Max Life, a specially formulated motor oil for fighting engine breakdown in higher mileage cars.
More at Valvoline.com.
And Lumber Liquidate is offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained, at 1-800-HARDWOOD. And
Sit for Less and Herman Miller,
featuring the Aeron chair available online, including the true black color.
Online at sitforless.com.
And the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program, towing away your car and selling it to support your NPR station, with your permission, of course.
And even though ice fishermen kick their radios into the nearest hole whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
One, two, three.
Thank you.
we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
This is lengthy and complex and obfuscated and full of useless information.
Yeah.
But, so pay attention.
Pretty perfect.
Okay, I'm going to set the scene.
Was it a dark and storm? No.
No, here it is. Our producer, Dougie Berman, is walking home from work late one afternoon, about 2:15. And as he approaches his house, he notices that there's a car parked in front of his house whose engine is running. Mm-hmm. And in the driver's seat is a man.
Mm-hmm.
And while this car is sitting there, he notices someone coming from the direction of his house carrying what looks like a huge pile of rags. He opens the back door, throws the rags in the back seat. He jumps in the car. The driver puts the thing in gear, and they speed away.
Speed away?
Speed away. They take off. He goes into the house.
Probably the Board of Health coming to get his laundry.
He plays with the dogs. You know, he opens his mail. He takes a nap, et cetera, et cetera. Several days later, he notices that all of his clothes have been stolen.
Took him a few days to notice.
So he calls the police to make a report.
Hmm.
And they come down, you know, the inspector comes down and says, well, what happened? He explains everything. And he's standing there in his underwear because, what, all his clothes have been stolen. He can't, well, it's been weeks now.
Yeah.
And they ask him if he noticed anything about the guys. He said, no, they were average height, average build, average weight. You know, I don't know. He said, what about the car? Did you notice anything about that? He said, well, I happen to be a student of the automotive field, and I did notice that it was an 89 Corolla, midnight blue. I noticed, of course, that the engine was running. I noticed it had Massachusetts license plates, and there was a dent in the trunk. And they said, we'll get back to you.
Wow.
Weeks go by.
During which time he stays home from work because he's
got no clothes.
That was that two-week hiatus?
Yes. Yeah. Spent 2 weeks in hiatus. Weeks go by, the police call him up and they say, we have the car and two suspects, and we just need you to come down and do something.
Identify your underwear.
So they have no underwear. They have the car and the two suspects.
Ah.
And he comes down to the police station, and he looks at the two guys, but he doesn't recognize them because he's not that attentive to the details. He goes out into the parking lot, and sure enough, there's the car. There's an 89 blue Corolla.
Midnight blue.
Midnight blue. Mass plates.
Dent in the trunk.
Dent in the trunk.
And the engine's running.
Is it running? And he says, these must be the guys. I'm going to get my clothes back. And he remembers that there was one thing he forgot to tell the police about the car.
Oh.
He walks over very quickly and looks inside the car for 1 second and walks away and says,
that's not the car.
That's not the car. These aren't the guys. What did he look at? Just 1 second. Just quick look inside and walked away and he said, can't go to work for another 2 weeks. I won't have any clothes.
Okay. I know the answer.
You do. You may know it. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can do an electronic funds transfer and email your answer on a $20 bill to us from cartalk.com.
Wow.
If you'd like to converse with us at this very moment, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Kate from Watertown, right down the street.
Kate!
Watertown, Mass?
Watertown, Massachusetts.
How are you?
And I think I went to the same high school as one of your fine sons is going to right now.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Really?
And did you graduate from that fine high school?
I did graduate from that fine high school
and
2 years ago.
And what state institution are you incarcerated in now?
Currently, I'm incarcerated in a fine institution in Providence, Rhode Island.
RISD?
Brown University.
Brown?
Brown.
Wow. Yep. I'm studying what? Computer science.
You can't laugh, okay?
Art history.
I'm studying international relations.
Oh, no kidding. Yes, I wouldn't laugh at that, no.
No,
okay.
No, that's very
good.
Important.
So what's up?
I'm calling you actually with a relationship problem.
International?
No.
No. Okay.
Of a different nature.
Domestic relationship.
Okay. Yes, domestic relationship.
Yeah.
I currently own this tiny little Suzuki Swift from 1990, and it drives me crazy because every time I try and leave school, it breaks down.
Yeah.
So I need to get rid of this car. I need to move on with my life. Here's where the relationship problem comes in. My boyfriend, who also attended this high school, who I've been with for almost 4 years.
Wow. Did you meet him back there in high school?
I must have. I did.
Where does he go to school?
He goes to Tufts.
So there's a lot of traveling going on here.
There's a lot of traveling going on.
So
he is deathly afraid of driving. I took him out for a driving lesson once, and we were driving around in my father's car.
And he was terrified.
I told him to slam on the brakes, and instead he slammed on the gas and rammed it into a pole.
And he took that as a message that he should stay away.
He took that as a sign from above that he should no longer be driving vehicles.
Cool.
I really want him to learn how to drive, though, because it's driving me insane. I have to pick him up. I have to bring him to his dentist appointment. this boy makes me drive up from Providence and get him in Medford and drive him to appointments.
Okay? That's great.
It's not a good situation.
No.
So, purchasing a new vehicle, my dilemma is whether to get a stick shift, which would make my life happier.
He is purchasing a new
vehicle? No.
You are.
I am.
Yeah.
But my eventual goal is to get him to drive.
Yeah.
No, the stick shift is out of the question.
Absolutely out of the question.
No, yeah.
And if he can't deal with
that.
Stop signs and the like.
If he can't even distinguish between the gas pedal and the brake pedal, you want to mess around with yet a third pedal and a lever that has to be jiggle around? No.
But I hate automatics. I feel like I'm driving a bumper car.
Well, what do you hate more? Driving all the way from Providence to Medford
to take him to
an orthodontist appointment?
Well, I figured the other option is to train him in public transportation.
Yeah, what's with that? Why doesn't he understand public transportation?
He's too lazy.
He's too lazy because he has you at his beck and call.
I know.
I would refer to him, if I were you, as geographically undesirable. And I would start looking for a guy in Providence. Except all the guys in Providence are in the mob, if you know what I mean.
The mob?
I don't mean that in a bad way.
No, he certainly doesn't.
I don't mean it in no bad way.
For any of you used that may be listening.
I wasn't aware of that.
Well, it happened.
No, that's all right. But
you should consider that. I mean, as wonderful as this guy may be, he may just be sort of a flash in the pan, despite the fact that you've been going with him for 4 years, because, I mean, it's 4 years, which is nothing in the grand scheme of things.
It seems like an awful long time.
Well, it does now. But 1 year old as my brother.
It's 20% of your whole age.
My brother spent 4 years of his life just smoking cigars.
That's all?
Maybe more, Ash. We should figure it out sometime.
Probably more.
Oh, so then here's the other question.
Well, I mean, I think it's time for a test, though, because the question is, does he love you, or is he simply using you to drive him around? In which case,
it
would be good to know that, wouldn't it? What if you started saying, I can't make it to the orthodontist appointment on Thursday at 2:30? I have a class in international relations.
Well, see, but I've tried that. I've tried the, cold turkey, I'm not driving you
what
anywhere
happens? What happens?
Kind of method.
Yeah.
I just never saw him. And it was just kind of a bummer because I could never see him. And
yeah, because, I mean, don't forget, I mean, there are buses that go to Providence.
There are. He's taken a train once.
Mm-hmm.
Once.
That's
all.
Yeah. It's not enough.
No,
this is a one-sided relationship.
Exactly what I was going to say. Exactly what I was going to say. He is relying on your good nature and your affection to take advantage of you.
Yeah, well, we've got to talk to this guy. I mean, because I am worried about you, and I want to know what his intentions are. I want to know.
Okay.
Is he home? Can we call him?
He's home.
He's home right now?
He's home.
Give us his number.
Okay.
Hold on. Wait. We have to get off the air here.
Right.
Okay, we're off.
Go ahead. We're off now.
And that's area code 617?
Yeah.
And his name is?
Aaron.
Yeah. Okay, so hold on. We're going to get his number. We're going to dial his number off the air, so we want you to hold on and be quiet, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. We're dialing.
Okay.
One ringy dingy.
Two ringy dingies.
Hello?
Hey, is this Aaron?
Yeah.
Hey, Aaron. You ever listen to the radio?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good.
This is...
You think you just won a trip to Florida, don't you?
You didn't win squat. This is Tom and Ray Magliozzi from Car Talk. You ever hear us on National Public Radio?
Yes, I have.
Well, we talked to your girlfriend, Kate.
Yes.
And I don't know if she's mentioned to you that she's like getting a little tired of picking you up and driving you around all the time.
Yeah, she was a little concerned that, you know, you had like a hangnail and she had to drive up to Providence to take you to the doctor and that you refused to get a license and you refused to drive. And
when she told us the story, we said...
Oh, we planted the seeds of doubt.
That, gee, it sounds like this guy is taking advantage of your good nature. And we told her we'd call you and discuss it.
Okay.
Do you mind discussing it?
No, I don't.
No, and she's not listening, so you can feel free to say anything you want.
Well, yeah. Why won't you get a license, for example?
Well, it's a difficult subject. I did driver's ed.
Yeah.
I did all that stuff, and I was driving around for a little while. You know, I was doing highways, I was switching lanes, I was doing all the stuff. But
cool,
doing
all the cool stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and I enjoyed driving, but then I went away for a little while, and I came back, I started driving around. I got into like a few little things, and then school started, and I got behind. Everything got put off, and then I never got it. I don't know. I don't have much of an excuse, I suppose.
Yeah, but I mean, how can you expect her to drive? I mean, it's like like an hour and a half, an hour ride from Providence to you go to Tufts, right?
Yeah.
So she comes to visit you.
Yeah.
Yet you don't want to take the bus. I mean, it's really not a great...
I visited her before. I've taken...
Wait, whoa. How many times have you visited her compared to the number of times she's visited you?
I visited her, like, twice. But the thing is that...
Well, how many times has she visited you?
I don't know, but it's a totally different scenario because she's coming home and oftentimes she has stuff that she has to do here anyway. So I'm sort of a side stop to that regard.
Oh, so you don't think she's coming expressly for you, but she's coming to visit her folks, for example.
Well, sometimes, I mean...
So she's just being a crybaby then when she says that she's driving you all over Hell's Creation and it's not true. She lied to us, in other words.
I would say that crybaby is a strong word.
I'm in the right ballpark, though, right?
Well, it would be false for her to say that every time that she comes up here, it is expressly to see me.
Okay, well, just between you and us, I mean, do you think that in any way you're taking advantage of her?
I think that take advantage is the wrong word because I think that hints at some sort of conspiracy.
Right,
it
has
part.
Bad connotations. Yeah, that expression.
Some sort of attitude that perhaps I was like, I wasn't getting my license only because the fact that she had hers, which isn't really true.
Yeah.
But,
here's the larger question. If she said to you that she wouldn't be coming to visit anymore, would you either get a license or be motivated to take the bus to Providence? Would you dump her?
I wouldn't dump her.
Well, I mean, she would certainly become, as we say, geographically undesirable. I mean, a girl who lives 50, 60 miles away. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go 50, 60 miles. And we're just wondering, would you take the bus to Providence every weekend to see her?
Well, I mean, every weekend is a bit strong, but I would see her.
Would you then split it 50-50 and say, look, you come up here one weekend, I'll come down there one weekend?
Yeah.
You would. If you had to.
Yes.
Oh.
All right, you passed the test. You're not a bum. You hear that, Kate?
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't know you were there.
Geographically undesirable? Guys, you turned on me.
Well, no, we had to do that to find out if Aaron was all right.
It was a setup.
It was a good cop, bad cop thing, you know?
Okay.
We had to put you in the poorest possible light.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, Aaron passes my test.
He does. He passes my test, too, except, Aaron, you got to get a license, man.
I know.
The thing is that there's no future plans of doing this. That's not true.
That is not true. I mean, well...
Now, don't fight, kids.
Well, but we have to get him back in a car first, and he's afraid of driving.
Not afraid of... Aaron, you're not afraid of driving.
I don't think afraid is the right word. I'm a little tentative because I haven't done it in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we should be forcing Aaron to get a driver's license, because I don't think it's really necessary for everyone to have a driver's license. But I do think you should share the travel responsibilities with Kate a little bit.
Yes.
Right, and we have you taped.
We have it on tape, so if you don't shape up, we're gonna have to come down and lay a beating on you.
So,
Kate, you can kick back next week, and then Arrow will be down to visit you.
He will.
Right. Okay. We'll see.
Have a nice time, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blooper. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his photo finish at the Piscataway Pizza Pimento and Pinot Grigio Pitch and Pot, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our long-distance truck driver is Etienne Wheeler. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. And our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our rental property manager is Ulysses Up. Ulysses Up.
Ulysses Up.
Our construction manager is Dustin Dubree. The president of the Disgruntled Hatchback Owners Club is Ivana Trunk. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekov and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Cheatham and Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the postdoc pizza boys in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and Don't Drive Like My Brother.
And Don't Drive Like My Brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1308, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, updated winter driving tips.
Huh?
Hey, wait a minute. It's already late February. Why are we even bothering to update our winter driving tips now?
Bad news. I guess Bugsy saw his shadow.
Of course he saw his shadow. How could he miss it?
Well, that does mean 6 more weeks of winter, right?
Oh, all right. Well, you can at least make sure your car's not miserable. Read all our winter driving tips all this week at cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Valvoline,
maker of MaxLife, a specially formulated motor oil for fighting engine breakdown in higher mileage cars.
More at Valvoline.com.
And T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at TRowePrice.com. And
Esurance, an Allstate company.
They've got this tool called Coverage Counselor that informs drivers about their car insurance options.
Coverage Counselor?
Yeah, maybe the Coverage Counselor can help us. We need some kind of counselor. Esurance. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though climatologists look into a sudden blast of hot air all over the country when they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.